AFR On Demand is brought to you by Breck Golf. Get into the swing of things with Breck Golf at golf.breck.org. With six golf courses around the Baton Rouge area designed for golfers of all skill levels, Breck offers a course for every golfer. Book your tee time now, golf.breck.org. He's a regular with us during the college football season. His college football preview is out. Always glad to have our friend Joe Lisi on GoForTheTwo.com, GoForTheNumeral2.com. How are you, Joe?
Getting ready for week one of the college football season, Matt. Doesn't get better than this. The long off season, but I'm chomping at the bit for week number one.
Just 99 days away, brother. That's all. Hey, not many people are picking LSU to do great things this year. What's your outlook on the Tigers?
Yeah, I'm not as dismal as other analysts and experts feel about the program. I picked them right in the area of 8-4, possibly could be 9-3, depending upon some late games in November. Again, I think it comes down to their ability to run the football. I mean, that's the one thing that I think LSU thrives on. They work off of play action, and that's going to be their mantra for 2018. This was a team last year, Matt, that rushed for over 200 yards in six games last year. They were 6-0 in those ball games and won those games by 17.7 points per game. So the games that they lost, those four losses, they only rushed for 154 yards per game, which was 54 yards less than their season average, and they lost them by 12.6 points per game. So they're going to need to run the football, which will open up play action for whoever wins the quarterback battle.
Did you consider Joe Burrow before, as you were putting your preview of LSU together?
Well, I mean, I started writing right after the national championship game. I knew that the quarterback battle would take place. Again, Burrow was mentioned in terms of, you know, being in the Ohio State quarterback battle. So I already released a preview when he had already made the decision to transfer to LSU. But no, I didn't factor that in. But again, I mean, Joe Burrow is a guy that, to me, reminds me of Danny Etling. I mean, I don't think Joe Burrow is known as a Shea Patterson type of transfer. We'll see how it plays out in Baton Rouge should he win the job. But again, I think he's a mediocre, solid game planner, but not an elite talent, in my opinion, from what I've seen in Columbus.
So you said you got LSU somewhere in the neighborhood of 8-4, maybe 9-3, depending on what happens in November. What games do you think are the swing games for LSU to bump up toward a 9-win season?
I think that game at Alabama is critical for LSU, and I know the LSU faithful think that there's no reason they could beat Alabama. But again, I think if you look at LSU, that matchup in the first week in November, they've lost seven straight to the Alabama Crimson Tide, and they lost those games by 13 points per game. But the last two games, they played very tough, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I've said this many times about facing Alabama. I think many teams fear the Alabama Crimson Tide before they even step out onto the football field. The one team that doesn't fear them in any capacity is the LSU Tigers. They feel they can go toe-to-toe with the Alabama offense and defense, and so that's part of the battle. I think that they can win that ball game in Baton Rouge in November. That could possibly catapult this team to a 9 or a 10-win season.
Joe Lisi is with us at Go4The2 on Twitter. His college football preview is out. They can order it on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon on paperback and ebook, Matt.
Amazon.com, Go4The2. Let's talk about the rest of the SEC. It's all about Alabama and Georgia, seemingly. Do you feel the same way in the West and the East?
I do. I have Alabama winning. The one thing about Alabama, and let's not take away from what Nick Saban's done. He's the best modern-day head coach, six national championships in Tuscaloosa. Over the last couple of years, they're 17-1 against SEC opponents and have dominated the competition by 26.3 points per game. They haven't lost a Week 1 matchup since 2001 to UCLA, and they've won those Week 1 games by 24.8 points per game. But here's the one thing I look at when I look at Alabama. When you look at their first eight games last year, a predominantly run-heavy offense, they averaged 298 rushing yards per game. They dominated those eight games by 33.3 points per game. In the last six games, minus the Mercer victory, this is an offense that only averaged 170 rushing yards per game, and they only won those games by 10.5 points per game, even though they won the national championship, it's a different team at the end of the year. They do have two new coordinators on the defensive side of the ball, and Mike Locksley on the offensive side of the ball. And I've said this time and time again. When you have a new coordinator, you're seeing the game through a different set of eyes. The coordinator has to understand how that talent responds in game situations. They have to call a game plan around that talent. And even though they've been on staff and understand, it's a different type of animal when you're the offense or defensive coordinator. And if you watch Mike Locksley at Maryland as an interim head coach, I wasn't sold on him. So I think Alabama could limp to a 10-2 record. I think Georgia as well. I'm not as high on Georgia. I think they win the East, but I think there's some chink in the armor heading into 2018.
So those are two settled coaches, obviously, with Saban and Smart. You've got new coaches all over the SEC. Give me each end of the spectrum. Which new coach do you think has the best opportunity for success in year one? And who's going to have tough sledding in the conference in year one?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead as having the best upside because of his ability to game plan and create one-on-one matchups with his personnel. You can watch what he did in Happy Valley last year in terms of Trace McSorley's progression, his ability to get the football into Saquon Barkley's hands. I mean, Joe Moorhead is a legitimate offensive coordinator, so I think him working with Nick Fitzgerald in that offense really will bring a lot of success to Starkville. He has solid defensive players on the defensive side of the ball. They held opposing offenses to 127 rushing yards per game. So I think Joe Moorhead clearly is the best addition to the conference. I'll say Dan Mullen for Florida. Again, I think Dan Mullen's a great head coach, coached up that talent in Starkville. But again, when you look at the progression for Florida's offense, especially at the quarterback position, they need to really make strides. I think he's about 2 or 3 years away. Schedule-wise, I think they can eke out 6 wins, but I'm not so high on Dan Mullen making a 360-degree turnaround in Gainesville in year number one.
Wow, 6-6 in Gainesville would rock that system if that happens year one under Dan Mullen. Couple more minutes here with Joe Lisi, good friend of the show. GoForTheTwo.com. His college football preview is out. Get to Amazon and order it. Guys, so comprehensive. GoForTheTwo.com. Let's talk big picture nationally. I know you nailed this last year. Teams that you're expecting to overshoot projected win totals on the season. Who are the sleepers?
Yeah, two sleepers out of the Power Five, Texas and Michigan, because of the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you look at Texas, they lost 4 games by a total of 15 points or 3.7 points per game, had some quality road victories such as Iowa State and West Virginia within the Big 12. They're solidified at the quarterback position. And let's keep this in mind. In the Big 12 last year, Texas held opposing offenses to 106 rushing yards per game and only 27% on third down conversion. So I'm very high on Texas this year. And in Michigan as well, they get Shea Patterson. The one thing about Michigan, Matt, in their 5 losses in 2017, they completed 48% of their passes for less than 1,000 yards, 1 touchdown and 6 interceptions. You're talking about a defense last year that held opposing offenses to 150 passing yards per game, 26% on third down conversions, and they recorded 42 total sacks. The defense with Don Brown will be there. Shea Patterson's the difference. Very high on Michigan to over-exceed expectations and be a college football playoff dark horse.
What do you think about the Pac-12, which got shut out of the playoff a year ago?
Yeah, I'm a little bit higher on the Pac-12 this year for a couple of factors. A couple of the schedules of some of the better teams like Washington, per se, that opens up with Auburn in week number one. Their combined winning percentage of their opponents in 2018 is 493%. So I think Jake Browning and that crew match up very well against Auburn in their week one matchup. Should they get through there, I think Washington could roll to a division title. The other one is USC. I know a lot of people think Sam Darnold's gone, so that's it. You know, USC will be 9-3. But this happened back in 1997 with a guy named Peyton Manning and T. Martin. Peyton Manning left. He couldn't beat Florida. T. Martin stepped in 1998 and led the team to a national championship over Florida State. This is a USC team that led FBS with Clemson with 46 total sacks. They do have possibly one of the best running backs in the nation in Stephen Carr coming off a herniated disc surgery. And their combined winning percentage of their 2018 15 opponents is only 509%. I'm very high on USC. I think USC and Washington meet in the Pac-12 championship game, but I'm picking the Trojans to make the college football playoff in 2018.
How about that? Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. Hey, one more before I let you scoot. Am I crazy for thinking West Virginia has a great chance to win the Big 12 this year?
Not at all. I mean, when you have a guy like Will Grier and David Sills, I mean, they are going to be legit. The one thing about West Virginia, I picked them at 10-2 overall, is their defense. They're solid, especially in run support, and force teams to methodically work down the field. They need to run the football better. They only average around 125 rushing yards per game over the last eight games of the year. That was with Justin Crawford. If they could get a better running attack, that'll take the pressure off the offensive line. And I think Will Grier and the crew, I think they dominate week one against Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt in that matchup. But this is a sleeper team within the Big 12. I projected them at 10-2 for the 2018 season.
My guy does great work, y'all. GoForTheTwo.com. He's on Twitter at GoForTheTwo. And you can check out Joe Lisi's college football preview. It's available on Amazon right now. Get online. Get the hard or the paperback or the online version. GoForTheTwo.com. Go check it out at Amazon. Man, I'm fired up to be talking to you again during the football season, man. You know it's getting close when you and I are chatting again.
I can't wait. Love the show, Matt, and go Tigers.
All right, Joe, be well, man.
You too.
We'll see you. That's Joe Lisi. Guy, he's a New Yorker.